Some of the monks in Thailand they do it for literally years. Like Ajahn Mun, who is the kind of the grandfather of the forest tradition in Thailand, it wasn't until he was in his probably his mid-70s before he stayed in the same, as monks, we have the 3-month rainy season that we're required to be in one place for 3 to 4 months at least. And that's a sort of a requirement according by our discipline. And you have to have a dwelling with a door on it, a roof and the walls. It wasn't until Ajahn Mun was in his mid-70s that he stayed in the same place for 2 consecutive years, because he would wander for the rest of that time. And then wherever he was, as it got close to the rainy season, it was starting to be too rainy, too wet to be wandering and living out, then he would stay in a monastery. And it's a testament to the special qualities and virtues that he had, because even though he was wandering, there's a very large group of students and disciples gained faith in him and wanted to practice with him and followed and tried to find ways to keep that connection. So that I can imagine as he got older, there was this sort of moving groups of monks just following him around, trying to receive teachings and to be present with his example. There was a period when he was, had quite a large following, and he was quite well known. He was starting to be known and respected even amongst the sort of administrative circles in Bangkok. And then he went up to the north of Thailand and was visiting a well-known monastery. And the powers that be heard that he was up there, and they these head monks in Bangkok sent word that he'd been appointed abbot of this well-known monastery in Chiang Mai, the city of Chiang Mai. And he packed his gear and was gone before the dawn the next day. And I don't think he came back for about 12 or 13 years. And that was a period for him of intensifying his own practice. I mean, he was accomplished meditator, accomplished teacher, accomplished practitioner. But as the numbers grew around him, then he felt that in order to really, he still had work to do. He didn't feel he was fully awakened. And so he stepped back from everything and continued his wanderings on his own until his liberation, his freedom, his enlightenment. Then he went back to the northeast of Thailand to teach again. Monks still sort of tried to find him. There's the stories of some of his senior disciples sort of trying to track him down in these jungles in the north, and it's lovely stories and a kind of lovely image of just this monk striving for liberation so that he can come back and really be a presence. And his example, of course, has affected, you know, the whole of Thailand. One of his probably more junior, because he came toward the end of his life and became a devoted disciple toward the last 10 years of Ajahn Mun's teaching career. Well, that monk just died at the beginning of this year, and on the day of his cremation, there was 1 million people for the funeral ceremony. And that's a direct result of just this one monk wandering off into the forest and living a life of Tudong and practicing for freedom.